Good morning. We greet each one of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brother Duane has asked that we read from Psalm chapter 96, the first nine verses. Psalm chapter 96, the first nine verses. This morning, it's sort of hard to get our minds focused. A lot of things are going through your mind, I'm certain. I'd encourage you to focus on the glory and the goodness of God. Last fall, I was called to the hospital in Chambersburg. There was a child that was bleeding and was rushed to the hospital. They didn't know the child had passed out from lack of blood. They didn't know how serious it was. Till I got there, the child was in the operating room. She was given blood. By morning, she had recovered. I was able to stand at the foot of the bed with her parents and declare to them the glory of God. Tell them how good God was. But I was challenged as I drove home that morning. What about if the child would have died? Could I have stood at the foot of the bed and still told her parents that God was good? It's a challenge. This morning, there are many here that are experiencing a very rough time. But I tell you, God is good. He's always good. You can glorify Him. You can lift Him up. In your circumstance today, God is good. Psalm 96. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen and His wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Focus your thoughts this morning on the greatness and the glory and the goodness of God. Let's kneel for prayer.
Thank you for your prayers, and Brother Brian in particular, and each of you who prayed for the speaker this morning. One of the first photographs ever taken was in 1839. It was of an American photographer taking a picture of himself, perhaps history's first selfie. If you fast forward that to today, there are tens of millions of selfies posted on social media sites around the world every year. Many of the pictures record events and relationships, but far too many of those pictures are of individuals taking images of themselves alone that say, "Look at me." That's quite the opposite of what our Christian lives are supposed to be about. Rather than saying, "Look at me," our words and our actions are to be saying, "Look at God." Our subject this morning is living to give God glory. We have been taught, and we've heard it from little on up, that our reason for living, our main purpose in life, is to glorify God. And that is true. Isaiah 43, it's speaking to Israel, but it applies to us. Verse 1, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." And verse 7 says, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. But what does it mean to give God glory? Sometimes I think that that's some kind of thought that we can't hardly grasp, and we're wondering what it means to glorify God. Well, doesn't God already have glory? He certainly does. The Bible refers many times to the glory of God. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Romans 15:8, "And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God." The glory of God refers to his perfect holiness, his splendor, his honor, his brilliance and awesomeness. Someone has said that all the greatness of God can be summed up in the word glory. We pray, we just did a few moments ago, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." This glory of God we can't give to him because it already belongs to him because he is God. Nor can it be taken from him. When the Bible speaks of glorifying God, it means to acknowledge that God is possessing of that glory. To acknowledge that God is worthy of glory. He's deserving of glory. To give God glory means to honor him, to set a high value on him. Glorifying God means to magnify him, holding him in greater respect. It means to give God credit and to give God the praise that is due him. To give God glory means for us to give distinction to God. He alone deserves or is excellent, and that sets him apart from all others. You see, the old man within us seeks to glorify himself. That's the selfie. But the new man within believers seeks to glorify God. And it says, look at his awesomeness. Look at his glory. Well, how important is it for us to glorify God? The glory due him is not to go to anyone else. Isaiah 48:11, God speaking, "For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another." Three times in Scripture and once in the text that Brother Brian read in verse 8 of Psalm 96, it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." The importance of giving glory to God, to acknowledging his glory, and giving him the honor that is due him. King Herod, you recall the account, in Acts 12, he died because of not giving God the glory. "And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." In Daniel 5, the Babylonian king Belshazzar received a message from the finger of a man on the wall. And Daniel, when he was called to interpret that message, he told Belshazzar, "Look, here's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar." The scripture says his father, I believe maybe it was more, it means his grandfather. But at any rate, he said, "Here's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You knew all this." And he says in verse 22, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessel of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified." Well, not everyone who fails to give God glory will die by being eaten by worms. And not everyone who does not give God glory will lose their kingdom and be killed like Belshazzar. Yet these scriptural accounts are warnings to us that all who do not live for God's glory will face the judgment of God. It will happen. In fact, one of the characteristics of the wicked in Romans 1:20 is that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. As believers in Christ, we must live to give God glory. It is the only way that a person bought by God with the precious, precious blood of Christ should live. We belong to God. He purchased us for that very purpose, to bring Him glory. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12, Paul says it this way. He says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you." The purpose of our salvation is to bring God glory. That is the purpose. Yes, we reap the benefits of being eternally saved and spending our eternity in heaven and with the Lord, but the purpose for our salvation is to bring God glory. So the next question is, if that's the purpose, how do we do it? How do we do it? How do we live our lives in a way that we can know that you and that I am glorifying God? Well, let's consider some this morning. One of them is through confessing Christ as Lord. Philippians 2:10 says that someday, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And then verse 11 says, "And that at every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Whenever Jesus Christ is proclaimed as Lord, God is glorified. Anytime that we say, "Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord," whether it's confessing it privately before God or publicly before others, God is glorified. I want to issue a challenge, and a challenge to myself. When you talk to someone and you get into a conversation and maybe tell them about yourself, or in the same applies to me, how about we don't just tell them that we're a Christian? Rather, tell them that Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. That will proclaim His Lordship and glorify God. So secondly, we can glorify God through worshiping Him, being in awe of Him, having reverence for Him because He is holy. Psalm 86, verse 8, "Among the gods there is none," God's little g, "among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." We glorify God through worshiping Him. Today, right now, if you're in a spirit of worship, you're glorifying God. Well, thirdly, we glorify God through praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 50, verse 23. "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me," the Lord speaking. Psalm 69, 30, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving." Thanksgiving brings glory to God. Praise can be in the form of singing, but it doesn't have to be. But it does need to be with our heart. Psalm 86, verse 12 says, "I will praise Thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore." Praise, or we glorify God by praise and thankfulness. And I'd like us to consider seven, and it'll be quick. Sometimes when you give out numbers, I think it kind of makes us wonder how long it's going to take him. Seven ways, and this is not all inclusive. Obviously, there's more. But seven things or people that we should be praising, or idea or thoughts that we should be praising and thanking God for to bring Him glory. Well, one is the gift of His Son. And Brother Brian praised the Lord for that this morning in his prayer. The gift of His Son in Luke 2:20 is the response of the shepherds. Upon hearing the good news that a Savior was born, and after seeing the child, it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Glorifying God through praising Him for the gift of His Son. It's not very hard to do, is it? All we need to do is say, thank you, God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the precious blood that covers me day after day. Whom without I would have no hope. Praise Him for the gift of His Son. A second way we can glorify God through praise is through praise for His mercy and His truth. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Can you imagine living without truth? You don't have to imagine it. All you have to do is look at society. It's trying to live without truth. We need to praise the Lord for His truth, that we have it. Are we praising God for His mercy? I heard that in Brian's prayer too. If you were listening he said about thanking the Lord for His mercy. We glorify God through praise for His mercy and truth. A third way is through praise for God's help and deliverance. Psalm 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and what should happen? He said, and thou shalt glorify me. We glorify God when we praise God for His help and His deliverance. Fourthly, we glorify God through praise for His creation and wondrous works. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. Psalm 139, 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. During the early years of the space race in the 1960s, a Soviet cosmonaut proclaimed to the world that he had proved there was no God. He had looked around in space while circling the earth and couldn't find him. Well, one person suggested he would have met him promptly if he had just opened the hatch of the capsule. But listen, several years later, on December 24th, 1968, another message was boldly proclaimed by American astronauts Lovell, Borman, and Anders as they circled the moon. Here's what they said. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Glorifying God for His marvelous works, His creation. When we credit Him for creation and praise Him for His marvelous works, we glorify God. Also in the text that was read, verse 3, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, declaring His glory. A fifth way that we glorify God through praise is through praise for His loving kindness. Psalm 63, verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. How often do we praise God and thank Him for His kindness to us, His love? We glorify Him when we do it. A sixth way we glorify God through praise is for answered prayer. John 14:13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do it. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. When we praise God for answered prayers, we are glorifying God. The seventh and last way we'd consider as far as praising God and bringing Him glory is through praise for healing. When Jesus healed the 10 lepers in Luke 17, only one glorified God because of His healing. One of them, as verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. When we experience the physical healing of God and praise him, thank him for it, we are glorifying God. Matthew 15, 30 and 31, and great multitudes came unto him, unto Jesus, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And what did they do? It says, and they glorified the God of Israel. When we praise God for healing, we glorify God. You know, I have a special appreciation and a special love. Love in the right context. For those who have cared for me physically, for doctors and that still care for me, nurses, technicians, hospitals. I have a special appreciation and love for those people and all who cared about my physical health. But you know what? God is behind all that, and he is my healer. He's the one that is to be glorified. He deserves the praise. He's the healer. Well, we've just considered 7 ways that we can praise and thank God and give him glory. By doing that, it's part of how we can live our daily lives, to give God glory. A businessman decided to make the expression, a million thanks. I don't know if you've ever heard it or maybe you said it. He decided to make that expression more than an exaggeration. To his customers and friends, he sent a book entitled A Million Thanks. It consisted of the words, it consisted of the word thanks printed 1 million times. Sent the message. But doesn't God deserve our thanks more than anyone? And by the way, if you think, well, is it possible to give God a million thanks? I don't want this to be just, you know, chore of trying to do it, but it's a challenge to us to be more thankful. If you give thanks to God for anything, 3 times an hour for 14 hours a day, 365 days a year for 65 years, you know what? Do the math, you're close to a million. The challenge is that we need to be more thankful, and by doing so, praising will praise the Lord and glorify God. And I don't know who wrote these words, but I want them to be true of my life. They simply say this, that in every blessing that comes my way, in every good thing, I'll sing your name. For everything I have in life, my hands are lifted high. Because it's from you, Lord. It's all from you. You deserve the praise. You are worthy. I have made the choice to give you all the glory. High above it all, your name is holy. I will lift up my voice and give you all the glory. In times of sorrow, when darkness falls, I am reminded that you use it all. So I can tell a hurting world that yes, God is always good. And I can say, Lord, I still can say, you deserve the praise. You are worthy. I have made the choice to give you all the glory. High above it all, you are holy. I will lift my voice, give you all the glory. There will be no other gods before you. For everything you are and for everything you do, you deserve the praise. You are worthy. And I have made the choice to give you all the glory. We glorify God through confessing Christ as Lord, through worshiping God, through praise and thanksgiving. And moving on with that thought, there were 7 areas we covered in praising him for thanks, with praise and thanksgiving. But fourthly, we glorify God through bearing fruit. John 15:8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in a believer, and when that fruit is manifested in our lives, meaning it's a reality, it's seen, there's evidence of it, then God is glorified. The Spirit gives them all to us. You don't just have one. They're all there because they're all part of the Spirit. If you have the Spirit within you, all the fruits of the Spirit are there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, or faithfulness and meekness and temperance. They're all in a believer. The question is, are they showing in our lives so that God is glorified? The fifth way we can glorify God is through trusting His promises. Romans 4:20, speaking of Abraham, it says, he staggered not. To stagger means to withdraw from, or to hesitate, or to doubt, or to waver. It says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. When we trust God's promises, when we believe Him and express faith, we give glory to God. It's a way that we can glorify Him. A sixth way we can glorify God is through good works and everyday righteous living, obedient to His word. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation or your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Corinthians 6:20 again, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Through good works, righteous living, obedient to His word. When we have right attitudes and pure motives, we glorify God with righteous living that produces good deeds and good actions and good works. However, when we have sinful thinking or sinful actions in our lives, we are guilty of violating the very reason that God purchased us and created us to glorify Him. These actions, rather than causing others to glorify God. Think about this. When I misrepresent God, when people see my sinful actions or something that misrepresents Him, that dishonors Him, it doesn't cause them to glorify God. Rather, it causes confusion and dishonoring. It's dishonoring to Him, bringing a reproach to His name. Because I should have been doing something else that would have gave Him glory or glorified Him. All sin dishonors God, whereas all loving obedience honors Him. So if I lovingly obey Him day after day, I'm glorifying God just by doing that. So are you. We need to glorify God through good works and everyday righteous, pure living. We also can glorify God through our abilities, as long as we don't try to use them to glorify ourselves. We are gifted differently. We are skilled differently. But guess what? It's all for God's glory. It's not for myself or yourself. We have opportunity to let our light shine by our actions and words to those around us and those we interact with, and thereby glorify God through it. I'm going to give you this example. This is not to lift me up because I've blown it way too many times. But I want you to listen to this. Because this was an opportunity, and this is an opportunity that we get many times in our daily lives. A couple weeks ago, or maybe several by now, I made a call to the Pennsylvania Department of Health to check some details about the Pennsylvania renal program that I am on that helps cover medicine a lot cheaper. And some of the bills or the doctor visits and so on. And I had some questions, and the lady said, and I was talking to the lady. And the lady said, "You're sounding chipper this morning." And I'm not sure exactly what the first part that I said. I think I said something like, "I have a lot to be happy about." And then I said, "The Lord's been good to me." And she said something that kind of was surprising. She said, "You know, I've been hearing a lot of that lately. I'm not sure all who's been talking to her, but apparently she's hearing something along that line." And it was interesting, and after we completed our conversation, I found out some things I needed to know. To close the call, you know what she said? And I don't know, maybe she does this all the time. But she said, God bless you. Again, that's not to lift me up, because there's too many times I've failed to say what I should have said. But in that case, it was a simple thing. But I do believe that the Lord was glorified. We can glorify God through good works and everyday righteous living, obedient to God's word. Well, seventh way we glorify God is through confession of sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Greek word for confess in that verse means to say the same thing. In other words, when I confess sin, when you confess sin, we're taking responsibility for them. We're saying, you know what, God, you're right. It's sin. It is exactly what you said, and I agree with you. And when we do that, we glorify God. So just the simple thing of confessing sin is a way to glorify God. An eighth way that we glorify God is through forgiving others. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, when we forgive someone, we are following God's example of forgiving. And in essence, we're saying, God, I want to be like you. I want to be forgiving like you. And when we do that and we want to imitate God and pattern ourselves after him, we glorify him. Because we're saying, you're right, God. That's right. Your way is the right way. Ninthly, God is glorified through leading people to Christ. Galatians 1:23, but they had heard only. And speaking of Paul, or Paul speaking here, they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Glorified God in me. When people are led to Christ, God is glorified. Jesus praying in John 17:9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine. And thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. He's simply saying that people who are Christians, who have Christ as their Savior and Lord, bring glory to God. So leading people to Christ will glorify God. A tenth way that we glorify God with our lives is through suffering for Christ. 1 Peter 4:14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but guess what? On your part, he is glorified. Verse 16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. We glorify God through suffering for Christ. Any suffering for Christ's sake, no matter how mild or severe, it glorifies God. And 11th way, we're getting closer to the end. Don't let that number 11 scare you. I think we got about 14. An 11th way that we glorify God is through an effective ministry. An effective ministry is built on the truth, God's truth. Well, there is no other truth. The truth with serving that has right attitudes and right motives and humility and faithfulness. 1 Peter 4:10-11, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And I think it has the meaning there as deacon, but this obviously it applies to all of us as we minister. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and the dominion forever and ever. He deserves it. If there's anything good that can come out of your ministry, out of my ministry, we all have ministry. So it doesn't just apply to ministers or deacons or whatever. It applies to everybody. If anything good can come out of that, guess what? It's the purpose of it to bring glory to God. Not me, not you, but God. He deserves the credit. He deserves the praise. Through an effective ministry, we glorify him. A 12th way that we can glorify God is through giving. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12, for the administration of this service, not only, and this chapter is talking about giving here, the gift that was being offered, for the administration of this service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. He's saying that through your giving, God will be glorified. And I can tell you, I've been the recipient. And I thank you and I appreciate you, but you know who ultimately gets the praise? It's God. Through the giving. God is glorified by our giving when it's done with right attitudes and motives. There's a 13th way God can be glorified in our lives, and it's through sickness. John 11, 4. Speaking of Lazarus, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. God can be glorified through sickness in our lives. There are so many opportunities to glorify God in sickness. So many. We have a choice as to whether we will give God glory, even in sickness or not. You know, that was my greatest desire was to give God glory through this somehow. And so often I know I failed. Through sickness, there are many opportunities to glorify God. And then a 14th way, and this is the last one, we can glorify God with our lives, even in our death. Even in our death. John 21, 19, this spake he signifying by what death, speaking to Peter, or of Peter, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. That tells me that even in my death, if God, the Lord tarries, and I have to go through death like everyone does, there's only been a few that haven't in history, that my death can also be a way of glorifying God and yours. As believers, our purpose in life is to glorify God. We must bring Him glory. We've considered ways that we can know we are glorifying God. Through confessing Christ as Lord, through worship, through praise and thanksgiving. And remember, we had 7 ways there, and that wasn't, again, there was many more you could use. Through bearing fruit, through trusting His promises, through good works and everyday righteousness or righteous living, obedience to God. Through a confession of sin, through forgiving others, all ways that we can glorify God, through leading people to Christ, through suffering for Christ, through an effective ministry, through giving, through sickness, through death. And I know that was a lot, but you know, when I started looking at scriptures that specifically talk about glorifying God and the glory of God, I was amazed at all the scriptures that were there and how practical it is and how we can do it. So many ways. But I don't claim to have covered all the ways this morning that we can glorify God. But as you can see, glorifying God is not something we only do every now and then. It's to be an all-encompassing purpose of our life. And you know why? We can back that up with Scripture, because 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. We are to glorify God even in the routine things that we do day after day, such as eating and drinking. Well, how do I do it with eating? Well, are you thankful for your appetite? I think I'm more thankful now than I was. Thankful for an appetite. Thanking God for the good food, the abundance of food that we have, for clean water, and then glorifying Him by not eating in such a way that I'm a glutton. If we are ashamed to thank God in public for our food, we dishonor Him. If we are ashamed to thank God for our food in public, we dishonor Him. Everything we do is to glorify God. When we work, it should be to honoring to Him. When we play, hobbies that we have, should all be honoring to God. Some individuals here enjoy playing softball, and I'm involved with that. And our goal is to win. That is our goal. But I'll tell you what's more important than that, and what our goal is, whether we win, lose, how we play. The goal is to ultimately glorify God, and that God is praised. And believe it or not, you can do it. It's possible, even in those kind of things. And that's what I'm trying to say this morning, that whatever we do, we are to glorify God. It means we do things that are pleasing to God, honoring His word, the choices we make, how we relate to others, seeking the good of others instead of ourselves. Everything we do is to be done so that we honor Him, praise Him, give Him due credit, recognize the glory that He already has. You see, glorifying God is not some far out idea that we can't hardly get a hand on. You don't have to be an angel. Glorifying God is simply living day by day, honoring Him through many, many different ways. Glorifying God is practical. It's attitudes, thoughts, and actions that please and honor our Heavenly Father. I want to leave you with this verse. Psalm 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name in good and in bad. I added that, but that's my paraphrase, or slipping that in there. In good or bad, let us exalt His name together. Let us glorify God.
Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.